Because we don't use the video, we only use the audio. The video is
Yeah,
for us to have the conversation, basically.
right. I have like 8 or 9 messages a week, I guess, from people who tell me that we need to make this a video podcast and they're keen to help me. To which I always say, or I don't always reply, but sometimes I do want to say, I agree with everything you say in principle, but nobody got time for that. We are running the process as we know it. That's it. But yeah.
From the home offices of Ash and Flow, this is Unbillable Hours, a podcast about professional services marketing. Stick around to listen to our insights, tips, and best practices to improve your firm's marketing and even your career.
Shall we say hello, everybody, to this new episode of the Unbillable Hours podcast, where people can probably guess, Ash and myself have a guest with us. We say welcome to Tom Schwab, who is with a fascinating company called Interview Valet. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And Tom, you can introduce yourself, say something about it in a second. I'll just try this. You guys are, if I read correctly, the category creating firm. You're a podcast marketing service provider. How do you refer to the firm? Is it an agency? Is it a service business? What? How do you call it?
We look at it as an agency, and really it's a podcast interview marketing, right? So leveraging other people's established audiences, the power of the interview to actually drive revenue.
And so in preparation, you had good reasons for why that is of particular interest to professional services firms. So before, because we like this and we have said similar things before, can I invite you to just spend 2 minutes to repeat what you said there? Why is it such a helpful tool for professional services executives, maybe in terms of content creation? Because we've said that before, but you're the expert. So please confirm our own opinion. That always helps.
I think down in our heart, we know this is true, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody is saying, break through the noise. And if we admit we're not breaking through the noise, we're adding to it, just yelling louder. Nobody's getting heard. I think the correct way is, how do you get in on the conversation that your ideal customers already are? And, you know, years ago, that used to be going to the trade shows, traveling all over, go where they are listening. Well, today in the digital world, it's so easy to do this through podcasts, through webinars. You've got a captive audience that's already listening, right? You can target them. And so we believe that to go on there, get that know, like, and trust, because there's something that's key in professional services, that services are bought, products are sold, right? And so often we see things on digital marketing where they're selling products. And while their tactics work for products, they don't always work for services. And I always point that out to people, like, right, if 3-day challenges and master classes and all of these things worked so well for quote unquote the big ticket sales, then how come you don't see Accenture, Ernst & Young, Bain, you know, driving their business with Facebook ads and funnels? You know, it's, we're not all one funnel away. We're one conversation away.
No, I really like what you said there, Tom, because I remember when I had to advise certain leaders, I was always saying, you need to be part of the conversation. You need to start the conversation. When a lot of the times they would just be like, here's a new piece of thought leadership that we've just put out. You're not really conversing with anyone. You're not having that dialogue as you were discussing. And what you just said is pretty much like what we've been telling a lot of leaders in the past. Well, even now.
And I think it has even changed drastically over the last year, because it used to be content is king. And I would have sworn that, right? And over this last year, it sort of turned into content is spam, because that thought leadership piece that you worked so long on, well, people are like using ChatGPT to put out 10 of those an hour. And so how do you get actually heard on there? And so just having a blog or a post, that may not work. But if you're actually talking about something, people know that we're real, that this is actually ideas, and that's what they're listening to. That's why people will go to a live event to hear somebody speak, as opposed to just reading their, you know, reading their Lewis post.
Which is, I see what you're doing there, Tom, so thanks for that, because I think you're lining up the segue into today's discussion, right? Where we heard from you the sentence that in some cases, digital marketing, as many other people run it, might actually rather hurt than help the business. I think you alluded to some elements of that, and we really wanted to have you on and discuss that. Before we jump off, I just wanted to say a short mini plug for one of our previous episodes, and I put that in the show notes. We had a while ago, it's been a while, but we had Andrew Rogerson, on from Grist. They've since been acquired, but they were running research quite comprehensively on effective thought leadership, and you'll probably like to hear, Tom, that the podcast very much came on as a preferred source. I think 30% of all those C-suite executives' answers mentioning that as their preferred source for, or preferred channel, I don't know what the right word is, preferred format to consume thought leadership. So that thing just jumped onto the charts during COVID, all right? But it's never left. So it's a must have, you know, channel or format, or a must consider at least format, I would say, based on what he had to tell us. I'll put a note in the show notes to that, but maybe leaving the podcast a little bit aside, you mentioned that an overemphasis maybe on digital marketing might not be as helpful as people think. Do you want to get started on that? Where did that opinion or point of view come from, and what's the context there?
I'm going to give credit to where I first heard it from. There's a great book called Clicksand, How Digital Marketing is Hurting Your Business. Bill Troy from Columbus, Ohio wrote it. And it was probably 7 years ago. And it was heresy at the time. And the point that he made, I think, is so true today. And he was an early sort of the canary in the coal mine that was talking about this. Mm-hmm. His point was that big fish don't swim through funnels and whales don't click. This idea that we're just going to put this content out there and the decision maker is going to read the content and then they're going to click and they're going to go through this funnel. And then I'm going to nurture them with a half dozen emails, right? And then they're going to give us the contract for, you know, the six-figure, seven-figure consulting deal. It's like, that makes no sense, right? And I remember we had a client that came to us a number of years ago, high-level consultant. And I remember asking him, why do you want to do podcast interviews? Why do you want to be heard on podcasts? And I loved his answer. He said, because I think the vast majority of digital marketing today is like advertising above a urinal. And I stopped and I was like, you got to explain that to me. And he's like, well, if my ideal customers see me on a park bench, if they see me on a bus, right? If they see me advertising a bathroom, that's a reason not to hire me, right? If I'm on TikTok doing some dance, he says, that hurts me. I don't want to be everywhere they are. I want to be everywhere they're making buying decisions, right? So he said, I want to be seen at the conferences they go to. I want to be seen or heard on the podcast they listen to. I want to be seen in the journals they read. So being very selective and wanting to make sure that whatever the association that they have, it aligns with their brand and it builds their authority, not diminishes it.
I like this a lot because I think the difference between going where the people already are and spending time and attention, like voluntarily, right? And inserting yourself there in a helpful way. It's a huge difference from interrupting me, I don't know, mid-feed, right? Through some bot ad in my Facebook timeline. I'm looking for something else and then you show up. I don't know. I would say that this stuff still has its place, but then it becomes a discussion. What do you do in the channel? But your suggestion there stood out to us so much. And thanks for the book reference. I'm going to definitely check that out because sort of coincidence, Ash and I just had this conversation. We were like, to us, it felt like certain things, for example, LinkedIn, the platform, and then social selling, the concept, or ABM, and all that stuff, which actually has been around forever and used to be sort of a pretty standard tactic, but it's been blowing up it feels like I have no hard data recently, right? So it feels it gets more and more crowded. And we were having this discussion. We should make a podcast episode, but what else is there? Like, I'm not saying the advert on top of the urinal, but we did discuss, what about the good old poster on the AirPod lounge, right? Are they not more valid now that everybody's over here on LinkedIn, right? What is the road less traveled today? That is an angle we had in mind, right? I don't know if you have something to,
yeah,
if you have
go ahead,
something
Tom.
To say to that.
And I think it's especially important for smaller consultancies, smaller agencies, right, where you have to do something different, right? You can't just outspend everyone else. You can't do a huge conference to get people there. So if you think that I'm going to invest my money doing the same thing everybody else is doing and stand out, good luck, right?
Yeah.
So I think you have to do something different. And digital marketing is here, right? I would say when somebody says digital marketing, I'm like, what other kind is there today? Right. It's all digital, even print on demand. You could look at it as that's a form of digital.
Yeah.
But I think the idea becomes, where are you using it for? So the idea that I'm going to get top of funnel by cold emailing a C-suite executive. It's not going to help. But if I can talk with them, they hear me at a conference, they hear me at a podcast, then they check out my book. Then you've got the relationship with them. Then if you start showing up in their feed, then it makes sense. And people will often point to like big name people. Well, it works for this person. It works for that person, right? Well, yeah, maybe works for Tony Robbins, but you know what? He's been out there for 30, 40 years. People know who he is. So they've already got that relationship. So I think the idea that the place for digital marketing is not at the top of funnel, especially if you're going after those whales and you're going after the big fish.
Yeah.
This makes a lot of sense, because I came across a conversation which I mentioned to you, Flo, about a bunch of people saying, I wish LinkedIn was back to how it was in 2015. I wish SEO was back to how it was in 2015. It's mostly because the places where you do digital marketing have changed. And to talk to your point, Tom, it's like, they're no longer making the decisions in those locations. So we need to move to the locations where the decisions happen and the means through which they make these decisions. If you just keep bumping into a place where probably the ones who actually pay attention are the ones who already have like huge following, like you mentioned, like Tony Robbins, he's got a huge following. So where he goes, the people go and they know what they're looking for, but that's not the case for most of the others.
And I think that, just to that point, there's even now, you can read this is not just advertising, but the effectiveness guys, right? The quants who crunch the numbers, they surface more and more proof to the point that certain things we've just taken for granted, and maybe that's a separate episode, but stuff like retargeting campaigns, right? Or highly narrowly defined segmentation criteria, then email blasts and so forth, actually, in many cases, do not work at all. I feel like I need to explain, because yes, they correlate with an uplift in sales. But if you try to prove that is an incremental raise on top of the increase you could have expected anyways, I don't know, consultancy business typically grow by and large, right? 5-7%, quote unquote, anyways, right? And if then you run digital campaigns and say, yes, we drove 7% growth. Yeah, no, that's just the industry growth overall. That's not necessarily your digital marketing effort. You would have to take extra steps to prove that. So I'm not saying it's all bad, but I'm just saying there's more evidence to the point that it's not all that shiny and effective. I think you said something earlier, Tom, about effectiveness and efficiency there. So yeah. People need to broaden the arsenal, I think, or the toolkit or whatever word we want to use.
Yeah. One of our past clients, she got promoted. Now she works for LinkedIn in Sales Navigator, Gail Moody Bird. And I love how she says, we're all getting more efficient at things that are less effective, right? So in the time we've talked here, all three of us could have sent a million emails.
Yeah.
Right? They all would have gone to spam. It wouldn't have done anything, but we're very efficient. And I think of something that Rand Fishkin, who started a company called SEO Moz, he gives the example. He's like, he loves to do public speaking because he knows it drives the business. But if he goes out and does a public speech and then somebody goes to look up his company and they get it slightly wrong, Well, Google's going to show them the right way and take them to the website. And Google's going to say, we brought you that traffic. Well, what if somebody gets confused, they get distracted, they leave, then retargeting, Facebook brings them back. Facebook's going to say, well, we bought you that sale.
Yeah.
And the problem becomes is we think there's this pure perfect attribution. And Facebook's going to say, we brought it. Google's going to say, we brought it. And there's nobody that says the data shows that it came from the public speaking. And he says, if you believe that you've got to have perfect attribution from every podcast, from every conference, from every public speaking, then you would never do those. But in our heart, we know that's where business comes from.
Yeah. And I agree. And I think that it's also the, and I, that's probably also why the, your idea of digital marketing losing its edge, especially in professional services, resonated with us so much. Mm-hmm. You spoke about the volume or how easy it is to just send 1,000 emails. That is something I think about a lot, is that digital makes it so easy. And now we have Gen AI coming in, right? It gets to a point where I don't have to invest time and care anymore to reach somebody or offer something or start something. And that's the opposite of where you need to be if you are a consultant and you want to build a trusted relationship. You have to do something that is a bit more effort. You have to do something that's a bit more value, that's a bit more careful and deliberate. And I think pitching yourself to podcasts, for example, which is something you help with, if I understand correctly, and then hopping on the interview and having a few things to say, maybe wrestling with a few pointy questions, whatever, that takes considerably more effort than the 1,000 email blasts of the standard copy. And people will, I think, appreciate that, which, to your point, then increases the effectiveness, right?
Yeah, and you make a very good point, Flo, where there's a difference between going mass media, B2C for a high volume, low margin product, and as opposed to a higher value, higher relationship, higher margin offering, right? One's a product, the other one's a service. And we've been doing this for 9 years. And early on, you know, we would do B2C products, we would do fiction books, and it never worked, right? Because you don't need to know who the person is. But if you're doing, you know, a nonfiction book that drives your consultancy, well, people have to know who wrote that. Why should I listen to that? And so from that standpoint, is it scalable? I don't know. Yeah. Right. Sure, it's effective.
Yeah. Yeah, but you have to be seen making the investment. And to your point, you come here on our podcast, take an hour of your out of your day, so everybody can tell, right? Tom invested the time. If your firm were to send out an email signed by you, right? An email marketing, well, I could not be sure. Maybe ChatGPT wrote it and some assistant sent it out. No, that's necessarily bad, but there's an insane difference in quality, I think. And I guess prospects appreciate that, and they can tell you put in the upfront effort. And I think that's a different way of starting the relationship than a Facebook ad, right?
Right. Yeah. Even from the business development side, it makes it better. Because at the end of the day, none of us want more leads, right? I get so many emails every day. You want more leads? It's almost like Facebook likes. The bank doesn't value leads. They value profits. And profits come from ideal customers that value what you do. A lot of leads can actually cost you money with all the business development reps to work them. You know, you got to kiss a lot of frogs to find a prince. Where if somebody hears you for 30 or 45 minutes, they're either going to turn you up or turn you off, right? If you're not their cup of tea, if they don't like you, that's fine. It doesn't mean they're bad or you're bad. It just means it's a bad fit. And so that's one of the things that we have seen. And we did this study with HubSpot early on, probably 2017, that the leads closed faster for a higher initial engagement and had less churn, because they were self-selected leads, right? Marketing should be magnetic. And that means attracting the right people and repelling the wrong people.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. We often say that here, to say marketing's secondary job is to actively turn away the people who are not a good fit. Because if your marketing does it, that's cheap. If you're deploying your consulting partner to have two lunches and a proposal run to figure out that it's not a good fit, that was bloody expensive disqualification, right? So we should be doing that early on. I mean, that I don't know if you have a view. This all sounds very true. And again, I want to be clear. I'm not saying, and I think you said the same, digital marketing is dead or you can't be doing it. I'm just thinking it might no longer be sufficient or if you rely on only, I don't know, the social selling stuff on LinkedIn hard, or you tried the good old blogging inbound, whatever, that mix is probably not as effective. And you'll see that in your results number as a broader toolkit. I don't know. Do you have a view on what might be worth doing these days? Obviously the podcast, we've mentioned those. I don't know. Do you have any other not so digital idea? I understood you said everything is digitally supported somehow, but you know, outside of the realm of the core of digital marketing, what else do you see working for firms?
Let me first say here, we're recording this in 2024, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So if somebody listens to this in 5 years, I might not still agree with this, right? But I think
sure, it changes. Yeah.
Tapping in to where your ideal customers are, right? So years and years ago, that was going to live events, chambers of commerce, conventions, right? It was the same thing as seen on television, right? You would get there, you would tap into existing audiences, and other people couldn't do that, right? And I think as post-COVID, and especially with the digital tools we have right now, you know, you mentioned that study where senior decision makers are listening to podcasts and it influences them. So why not go there? Right.
Yeah.
So to go where they are, there's a phrase, and I'll clean it up a little bit, that marketers mess up everything.
Every channel. I think I heard that. Yeah. I can't attribute it either, but they ruin every channel.
They ruin everything, right? We took email and turned it into spam. We turned phone calls into robocalls, and it's the same thing other people are doing. So I think it's dangerous to go back and say, well, this worked 3 years ago, so I should put all my money into that. Well, so is everybody else, right? So trying to look at what is new, what is effective, not just efficient. Like you said, you can throw a lot of money at it, but you're going to pay for it at some point, right? It's cheap to do AI and outreach, but now you're going to have to spend a fortune in sales because you know, you're going to have to do a lot of luncheons before you get a close.
Sifting through the ill-fit stuff, And you because you mentioned throwing a lot of money into things, that's an aspect we haven't touched upon, but I like it, or I want to bring it in, is that most forms of digital advertising, digital marketing, so search engine marketing, running ads on social, that type of stuff, what's interesting there is that you can say there are people who have the perspective that this never creates a competitive edge, just a bit generalizing a little bit. I mean, unless you have outstanding creative and a very distinctive brand. But generally speaking, for example, search engine marketing, it's always a bidding war, right? It's open to everybody. Yeah. And so you might be number one today, but tomorrow someone steps in and can spend $500 more than you a month, and that's it. You're done, right? Whereas crafting a pitch or having a suggestion that is good enough to get a podcast host to say yes, to get, I don't know, someone who puts a conference together to say yes, that is not necessarily open to everybody, right? You have to put in the upfront investment. You have to have something interesting to say. You have to have those conversations. So that to me is more conducive to building, I'm not going to say a moat, but a bit of a competitive edge for your little firm or in your niche over time. That's not something someone can just come in and outspend you on tomorrow, right? And then it's gone. Yeah.
Now, using the digital tools, it's interesting because you can use the interviews like from a podcast and repurpose those.
Yeah.
And now you've got this rich content for shorts, reels in your sales process, right? So before somebody even jumps on a sales call with you, you say, you know, I was on this great podcast, The Unbillable Hour. You may want to check that out, right? If they listen to that for an hour before they actually get on a discovery call with you, now they're sort of pre-sold on there. And it's not, hey, watch my 2-hour sales pitch webinar. No, it's like they're listening to a conversation.
Yeah. By the way, and I will say this, I use the podcast sometimes. We talked about disqualifications. If we have firms come inbound, a client friendly, which are not quite a fit for us there, like we have a certain threshold, right? Up till which you are too small, we'll consider you too small. I'm not sending them away into nothing. I'll send them a couple of links to podcast episodes, which actually answer their questions. So I'm being helpful instead of just rejecting them, because who says, right? Who can say, right? A couple of years down the road, maybe they have grown into the size. And yeah, I can help them out at the extra cost of nothing, because to your point, I already did the podcast. So there's huge efficiencies, even in the, what is that, the sales process? Or it's almost like a form of consulting, right? Which I can give away for free because like I said, there's no extra effort for that. It's just a link and an email.
And you've already created the content, right? And there's so many people that say, well, I've got a content creation problem. We all create content every day. The difference is some people capture it and then share it out. Others don't, right? Gary Vaynerchuk creates just as much content as we do in this hour, right? The difference is that he's got people following him around with cameras. They slice it and dice it and put it out there. And I think the best marketers are capturing all of those things and repurposing it.
Yeah, that is true for sure. I mean, this is all great stuff. And I think this idea of go where people are and then maybe see if there is non-digital formats where they are, right? And then, of course, conversations, which in the past, this would have been, I don't know, do you consider yourself that similar to media relations? Because, right, we all learned that stuff, old school terminology, you would not have said it's a podcast. You would have said it's earned media, right? Someone else owns it. And we have to earn the right to come on and join the conversation, as you framed it.
It's interesting, the whole name of podcast, right? Because podcast started out as on audio only. You download it to your iPod, right? Yeah. Now, over the last year, it's people see it on YouTube. Terrestrial radio picks it up. It's different places. If they, you know, Joe Rogan, right? I've never listened to his entire podcast, but I'll listen to 90-second clips out of it.
Yeah, he's everywhere.
So from that standpoint, it's like one of these formats that it's really easy to create, and then it's easy to repurpose. So I don't know if it's podcast or it's just, like you said, earned media, and you can create it the way that's easiest for you. And then your ideal client can listen to it in the way that's easiest for them.
Yeah. That's all great stuff. I have one question which just came to my mind. It's not in our list, but if you don't mind, I'm going to ask it. Do you have, or this Interview Valet, do you guys have a view on advertising on podcasts? We talked about ad formats like the airport lounges stuff. People do not seem to remember as much, or out of home not being done as much anymore in professional services as back, I almost said back in my day. What do you think of advertising on people's podcasts? Do you have a take on that?
I think it's a great medium to advertise on, but where we have seen clients get the biggest bang for their buck with it is, once again, just don't throw money at it to get the ad on there. First thing is to go on there and be a guest to talk about your agency, your services, all the rest of that. You can almost use that as a test. If that works very well, and there's some analytics that you can do to figure out if it works well, then go back to them and say, hey, you know, we love the podcast. We would like to advertise on this podcast. Mm. And that's where it's really powerful, because the host, especially if they do, you know, red ads, they'll probably reference, you know, go back to episode 147. We had Tom and Interview Valet on there. You can learn more about it. And it's like, wow, not only do you get a 60-second read, but you're driving people back to longer form content. So once again, how can you do something that other people aren't just by throwing money at it?
Yeah. Nice. I like that a lot. I mean, this is, so you've given away the playbook, right? That's not what they have to do. but maybe before we conclude, just talk to me about, like, what would I have to bring with me to be a good fit for your guys' service? Do I have to have a point of view, ideas, what I want to talk about figured out already? Or is that something that you help shape as part of the process? Not to offend everybody in consulting, but I do meet a fair share of practice leaders who, it's not that they don't have anything to say, but they need a bit of help to find it and shape. Do you know what I mean? Like, they are, the default is they're very much heads down over the client work, and I have not anything exciting to say. If you were to ask them, that would be their response. It's not true. You just have to show them what it is they can talk about. But what do I have to bring with me if I come to you guys?
One of my favorite phrases is, what's ordinary to you is amazing to others, right? Mm. What you do every day, it just becomes normal to you. Right now, there's somebody doing brain surgery that slept well last night because it's just his job, right? It's what he does every day. And he wouldn't want to talk about it because it's just normal. And that's what our clients come to us, right?
Yeah.
They know what they know, but they often undervalue that. So we talk with them about what are your goals, right? The goal is not just getting on a podcast. What are you trying to do with this? Then who do you want to talk to, right? Who's your ideal client? Who would make this a difference to? And then we start talking about what kinds of things could you talk about? What kinds of things could you repurpose and use in different places? Mm-hmm. This is an overall strategy, not just a tactic of, hey, let's get on some interviews. And where it works best is for people that have a higher lifetime value of a customer, right? It's more of an engagement than just a transaction. People that have a larger reach, right? If you're just very local to your city, it won't work. But if you can serve people regionally, nationally, globally, man, it's a very powerful thing. And then also people that just in their heart realize that they could help a lot of people, right? But that obscurity is their biggest problem. Those are the kind of people we talk to. And you said about giving away the playbook and everything. I look at this and say, it's not magic. It's not a secret. It's a system that we do. Yeah. And I openly share that with everyone. You know, I wrote a book and somebody asked, well, why did you put all the things in the book? And I'm like, because the people that are our best clients read the book and say, I understand it. It makes a lot of sense. I don't want to do it all, right? One of our taglines that came from a client, he said, I like working with you because you let me be the guest and you take care of the rest. And I'm like, oh, that's good copy. We're taking that. And so those are the clients that we work with. And, you know, we'll be honest with you and say, hey, we think this will work for you or it won't, because in 9 years, we've seen this is what's missing.
Yeah. Nice. All right. So, I'll try to recap this a little bit. We discussed about how the standard plays that come to mind when we hear the phrase digital marketing. So I don't know, email, social selling or social outreach, or whatever you want to call it, digital advertising. Yeah, they still have their place, but they might not be the best and only choice if you're selling to, as you call it, big fish, or, you know, decision makers that are in a position where they sign off on large deals. We also discussed how you should therefore complement the mix of methods with some not so digital variations of your marketing. And I think we landed hard on the point that podcast is an excellent way of doing it, which, because it is a very promising form of quote unquote earned media, right? It's a bit more work up front, but if you can get in there and you can land those interviews, and I understand that's something you can help with, then you are off to a great start to have a bit of a differentiated position and build relationships the right way, right, for consulting engagements. So that said, I don't know, if you don't have anything to add, Tom, I'll just say thank you. Do you have anything to add?
No, actually, it's more about where do people need to go to find more about you and stuff like that, obviously.
Yeah, that would be my next question. If people want to hear more about Tom Schwab in the interview valet, where would you point them to?
Well, thank you for having me here, and I'll make it easy, right? And this is best practice. If you no other reason you want to see what a welcome page looks like, just go back to interviewvalet.com/unbillable. And put a special page right there. There's an assessment, 10 questions. Will podcast interview marketing work for you? Free copy of my book. Right. If you want to buy it on Amazon, it's there, but I'll give you a free copy. And then if you'd like to talk with us about how you could leverage targeted podcast interviews to grow your professional services firm, you can do that also right there at interviewvalet.com/unbillable.
Nice. And that is the last lesson, people, for today. Don't just go on the podcast and then leave. You've got to have something lined up so people can come back and engage with you. Nicely done. You're learning. So thank you a lot.
Thanks, Tom, for hopping on, Tom.
Thanks for the time, Ash. Thanks for listening, everybody who's listening. And then have a nice weekend eventually. This is where I'll stop the recording, I guess.
Thanks for listening to Unbillable Hours. If you want more, tune in next week. You know where to find us.